Hello, I'm Sue Ellen Walker, Principal Investigator in the Paediatric Pain Research Group at UCL Great Ormond Street Institute of Child Health in London. And on behalf of my co-authors, Madeline Veriotis, Judy Peters and Clarissa Sauger, I would like to summarise some findings from our manuscript aimed at phenotyping peripheral neuropathic pain in adolescents by assessing pain descriptors, somatosensory profiles with quantitative sensory testing, condition pain modulation, and patient and parent-reported measures of pain-related disability. Following ethics approval, parental consent, and patient consent or assent, we recruited a cross-sectional cohort of 66 10 to 17-year-olds presenting to our tertiary pediatric chronic pain clinic with peripheral neuropathic pain and a subgroup with complex regional pain syndrome for comparison. Adolescents reported moderate to severe pain that was often sharp, stabbing, paroxysmal, and associated with sensitivity to touch, and this had been present for more than 2 years in the majority. Using quantitative sensory testing, we evaluated mechanical and thermal thresholds and dynamic measures in the region of pain and compared this with contralateral pain-free sites to calculate and plot body region-specific Z-scores. We were able to identify distinct somatosensory profiles, with thermal hyperalgesia the most common, followed by mechanical hyperalgesia. Sensory loss was identified in a proportion of patients with persistent post-surgical pain or peripheral polyneuropathy, but this profile was not seen in patients with CRPS. To evaluate condition pain modulation, which we would expect to evoke robust inhibitory responses at this age, pressure pain threshold on the knee was measured before, during, and after a cold conditioning stimulus to the contralateral hand. And we defined meaningful CPM as 2 times the standard error of pressure pain threshold measurement. Across the cohort, there was a spectrum of responses, including impaired CPM in both males and females, with sustained inhibition in only 56% and significant facilitation in 14%. Patients and parents complete a range of validated questionnaires when they attend pain clinic, and review of this data identified marked impairment in quality of life, particularly in physical and school function domains, increased emotional distress in males and females, and high pain catastrophizing scores. Whereas patient and parental reports of quality of life were highly correlated, catastrophizing scores were discordant, particularly if the patient or parent reported higher levels of anxiety. In summary, neuropathic pain in adolescents can be severe and prolonged and associated with significant physical and psychosocial impairment throughout important stages of adolescent development. Phenotyping with a range of sensory tests and questionnaires is feasible and provides additional outcomes for recognition, assessment, and monitoring of neuropathic pain. In the future, these measures may improve stratification for controlled trials that will ultimately improve individualized and evidence-based therapy. Finally, I would like to acknowledge the important participation of members of the Great Ormond Street Hospital Pediatric Pain Service, our research collaborators, funding from Great Ormond Street Hospital Children's Charity, and most importantly, the participation of patients and their families. Thank you.